Okay, so everybody's got their bulletin. They've read the title of the sermon. We're all set. It's okay. Won't take it personally, although Linda might, since she's the one who puts it together. Yesterday, we had, as Rick mentioned, we had the men's breakfast followed by meeting. And thanks to Rick, I know it's going to be a surprise to everybody that a person who owns a restaurant might be a good cook. But thanks to Rick, the food was extra yummy. And one of the advantages to my low-carb diet is that it's an excuse to be carnivorous. With the multiple options that he had breakfast sausage patties and an omelet-like concoction. I don't know if you'd call it an omelet, but an omelet-like concoction that included spicy Italian sausage. And I can't remember if I've ever mentioned that when I give up my vegetarian vows, the thing that I enjoy most is probably something like sausage. So it was perfect, Rick. And after breakfast wrapped up, Rick, Scott, Jim, Jerry, Warren, Winslow, and I got together to do the business of the church, I guess you might say. And near the end, Winslow, see, I told your mom that I was going to mention her in this sermon. I didn't tell you I was going to mention you. But Winslow brought up, said, hey, should we be having more sermons about fellowship and family? Because we had decided earlier this year that that was going to be the theme. This sermon, Winslow, is a yes. It is a yes. Now, having grown up with David Letterman, does anybody remember his short-lived morning daytime show? Which I liked, but as I've learned at Shaw's, pretty much anything I like is going to be discontinued about a week after I find it. But being that I grew up with David Letterman, it seemed appropriate to me, a good approach, to do a top 10 list. So, the top 10 reasons to attend church. You may notice if you have looked at the bulletin that that is not the title, but I think you'll understand its connection shortly. Also, if you like sermons in the 20-minute range, it'll mean we'll have to go quickly, because that's only 2 minutes per entry, and right now my guess is we've already burned about 3 minutes during my introduction, maybe five. As a matter of fact, sometimes I've gone back and listened to my sermons, because I'm an egotist. I've gone back and listened to my sermons, and I'm like, wow, I spoke for 12 minutes before I actually started the sermon. So without further delay, number 10, we will find together in Hebrews. Where's Matt? Matt, you want to come up? Number 10, we will find in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews, I don't know, maybe we'll go wild and have you actually read from the Bible this time instead of off my notes. So where's Hebrews, can you tell me? In the New Testament. That narrows it down quite a bit. So you're going to read 10, and you're going to read 24 and 25. See right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me get the mic, everybody there? Okay.
All right, here.
24 and 25, right here.
All right. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Okay, thank you very much. Very good. Put that back on there. So number 10, and the top 10 reasons to attend church is, because I said so, with the I in that, because I said so being God. Through the writer of Hebrews, God commands us not to neglect meeting together. And there's emphasis on it, isn't there? As some would do. So how many people have heard those who speak up and say, you know, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. I, you know, commune with God at home. God specifically here is saying, don't stop going to church like other people do. And that's what you would say to those other people. God says specifically not to do what you're encouraging people to do. Now, I've listed number, because I said so, as number 10, because ultimately, it isn't terribly satisfying to do something just because you're told to, is it? That doesn't mean it's not important. Quite the opposite. When God tells you to do something, it is important. And even Jesus himself, I've brought up the verse a lot, John 15:15, where Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. In some other version it says, because a servant doesn't understand his master's business. Even Jesus ultimately would prefer that we do the right things for the right reasons. So I made this number 10 because even though it's important, ultimately I do think that God does hope that we come to church, not because I said so, but because we understand why we need to come to church. So that's why I put it as number 10, but that does not mean it's unimportant. And ultimately, if that's the only reason you come here, then praise God. Show up, worry about hell, all those good things, sit in the pew, and then God can change your heart so that you will understand why it's so important to be here. Okay, number 9. Number 9 in the top 10 reasons to attend church is, look that way, please. Well, there's not much sitting there yet, but look that way, please. Because church potluck food has no calories. None, zero, zip. No, not a single, and no carbs if you're on an Atkins kind of diet. And if you climb on the scale the next day and it tells you otherwise, that's just a demonic deception. The reality is the fact that you tried a little bit of every dish out of kindness to everybody who made it, you did not gain a pound. I will try to remind myself that tomorrow. So, that's number 9. Number 8 in the top 10 reasons to attend church, it's Maybell.
Amen.
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 And Trudy. Amen. And Kathleen, who I don't think is here. And Rick.
Amen.
And Augie.
Amen.
And the list could go on. You know, I realize that at times we can probably get on each other's nerves. Well, there's actually one person here that, no, that person's not the reason, but I'm not going to mention the name. I'm just kidding. But I do realize there are times when we get on each other's nerves. But a big reason to come to church is the wonderful people who are here when you arrive.
Amen.
Now, I shouldn't say it quite that way. It really depends on who's later that day, whether you or they. You might be there when they arrive and vice versa. But the fact is, it's the people who greet us here early or late. That's number 8 in our list. And even when you most feel like being a hermit and you want to avoid the world, there is someone here whose smile and love can cast off the darkness of this world.
Amen.
I know you guys do that for me, and I know that we can do it for you. The reality is, that's a great reason. Number seven. Let's go back to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. There was a second reason in there. So we will look at it again. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, I don't know about you guys, but during my 47 years, I know I look more like 67 or something like that, but during my 47 years, I can't say that I've ever felt like the world has been more on a precipice than I do now. I mean, as kids, luckily our parents generally hide the finances and all that. So probably late teens, when I started working full-time, and like you, Rick, never stopped. Since that point, I have been aware of bills and politics and all that. And I will admit, and some of it I'm sure has to do with the fact that I still haven't found a job, so you don't feel like you have that safety net. But how about the religion of peace? And its surge in control, when they only have one goal, one common goal, because they do fight amongst themselves. What's their one common goal? Destruction of Israel, right? And you can look at all you want about biblical end time prophecy and things like that, but the reality is it's hard to jettison the idea that God has always had something special in his mind for Israel. They've made a mistake. They don't recognize Jesus yet. But as I look at the world and I look at the economies that are not just they've gone bad, but they're some are beyond repair. There's no way to repair Greece. It's just not going to happen. And to top it off, what we see right now is actually just the tip of the iceberg. Go read articles about unfunded obligations that these countries have done, especially the U.S. You think that being $14.3 trillion in debt is bad? How about the hundreds of trillions in unfunded retirement and pensions and all that that's out there? I'm not trying to get political, but number 7 in our top 10 reasons to attend church is because the day is drawing near. And the reality is that it is true that I may die a natural death, hopefully not too soon, but in, say, 30 years, and I may be wrong. But the reality is, as we've talked before, is the day is drawing near for every one of us. Mm-hmm. Whether it's 30 years, tomorrow, now I hope it draws near with Jesus returning, but number 7 is the day is drawing near because you don't know if you're even going to walk out of this church today. So that's number 7. Number 6 in the top 10 reasons. Let me ask you this. Simple question. Can you slump in a pew? It's impossible. I don't care what you say. It is impossible to slump in a pew. And I'll tell you, I am a professional slumper. Ask my wife, I can sit at home and basically be almost horizontal working at my computer desk. So number 6 in our top 10 reasons for attending church, it's good for your back. Church pews force good position. That's number 6. Number 5 is actually going to make us turn to our longest selection, and I think it's important. It's a bit longer than I like reading in one fell swoop, but I think it's important. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I think everybody here will understand as we're reading through it why it was important to read the entire reference and not just a selection. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 27. And if you haven't read through this, 1 Corinthians has a lot about a church, about its importance, about its behavior, about how our relationships should be together. So this is a good one to spend time, and I'm sure we'll be visiting again as we do more fellowship and stuff. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, sometimes they're fidgety in the front row, aren't they? Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Number five in our top 10 reasons to attend church is, we need you. You complete us. I think there's probably some movie there where someone says, you complete me or whatever. But the reality is, we need you because you complete us. Yes, just like a disabled or blind person will learn to compensate, the body of Christ will learn to deal with an absence. But it does not consist of one member. And if one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. And if one member stops attending, we all feel the vacuum. We are incomplete. But so is the person who stays away. Number four in our top 10 reasons to attend church is because it decreases the chance you'll have to go to the emergency room. Now, Linda, I am not saying there is especially one family with a bazillion kids who brings this entry to mind. And I am not saying that as we see what our kids do outside when they're running around between and after church, that they never do anything life-threatening. But you have to admit, there is less chance that our kids will end up in the ER if they are here at church instead of being out, especially unsupervised, in the world. And you know, if you actually spiritualize that thought a little bit, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Up here as the preacher. The more time all of us, adults included, spend here at church, the less chance we will end up in the metaphorical emergency room. That doesn't mean our lives will be without wrinkles, and some of those will come directly from church members, possibly right here in church. But the most important health, our spiritual health, is less likely to go awry when we spend as much time as possible within these, or I guess that door, we won't count that one, but within these doors. Outside them, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And just like your omelet concoction yesterday was very yummy, we are very tasty to that lion. Stay inside the doors. Now we need a couple of verses in Proverbs to get number three. Number three, we're going to look first at Proverbs 15:22. Matthew, you want to read another one? As a matter of fact, we'll have you do two since they're nice and short. So Proverbs chapter 15. And we're going to look at Proverbs instead of Psalms. Proverbs 15, and we're going to look at verse 22. Okay, I'll let you read it off. Well, actually, it might be easier for you to read off this because it splits the page. Okay, 15:22, right there. Without counsel.
Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed.
Okay, and now we are going to turn up as I drop the microphone. Can you hold that for a moment? Now we're going to turn to Proverbs 11:14, and you better get there before me, being that I closed my Bible. Proverbs 11:14. Okay. So that's that verse right there.
All right.
Now hold that closer to your mouth. There we go.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors there is safety.
Okay. Thank you very much. Number three in our top 10 list of reasons to attend church is, if you go it alone, you will fail. If you go it alone, you will fail. Everyone sitting here has been given to you by God to be a counselor. And it won't be about everything. Some people will give you spiritual counsel. Some will give you financial counsel. Some will tell you how to, you know, hang the door to a cabinet without messing it up. But the reality is, everybody sitting here is a gift from God.
Amen.
as a counselor, and we can only succeed individually and corporately. We can only succeed by trusting each other to help us understand the words of Scripture and apply them to our lives. Because I can tell you right now, I don't have all the answers. You need everybody else too. And sitting here just listening to me preach won't do it for you. When we are alone, we will. It's not just a possibility. I can almost guarantee you. We will rationalize our way right out of the will of God and right into a big mess. So, number three in our list is, if you go it alone, you will fail. Now, something we recently added to our church was insurance. And I know that seems kind of crazy that we went years without insurance in case the building burnt down or somebody got injured here, in which case they could quickly own the building. Because you're very aware how something as simple as a shorted wire downstairs, and I'll tell you, when I used to look at them, I could see that happening, but a shorter wire downstairs could change this building instantly almost into charcoal. Nice old wooden building. So it seems crazy to us. Now with that in mind, let's look at our second to last verse for today's sermon. It's nice and short. It's Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Michael, do you feel up to this one? Can you do it? Come on up. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Okay, so you are going to read right here, and then after it, we're all going to become Catholics. Okay?
Okay.
I'm not sure he understands why I said that.
No.
Right there.
And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Thank you. Very good. Does anybody know why we're all going to become Catholic? That's right, because that's how they start their apostolic succession. But we aren't going to look at it for that reason, and they're wrong. Number two in our top 10 list of reasons to attend church is, it is fire insurance. It is fire insurance. Now, obviously, salvation is an individual state, not a corporate one. But, I don't know about you, I would rather be inside a church that hell cannot prevail against than out in the world that is the equivalent of kindling for hell's fire. And obviously, Jesus was not speaking of a material edifice like the one we are sitting in. But to be a part of the universal church, you cannot skip attending the physical church if God has blessed you with the opportunity to do so. If you want to be part of the universal church and be written in the book of life, and God has given you the opportunity to attend a physical church, then go back to, if you don't believe me, let's just head back to number 10. Then you've got to attend. And, again, it's fire insurance. Number one. How many people here have seen the movie An Officer and a Gentleman? There's one scene in here I think every man in this room probably grunts at. As a matter of fact, I went and saw that in the theater without talking about the specific scene. But I can tell you this. Every guy in that theater went, oh, and then every woman in that theater laughed. And that's just not right. So either way, Richard Gere as pilot, aspiring pilot, I should say, Zach Mayo, and Louis Gossett Jr. as Sergeant Foley didn't get along very well, did they? And the friction finally comes to a head, and Foley wants to get Mayo to drop on request, a D-O-R, drop on request, which just means he wants Foley to quit. Mayo to quit. Mayo refuses, and Foley says, "You can forget it, you're out!" And finally, you got it, right? You want to do it again? You're out! Exactly. Even got the hand expression. Michelle was telling Mikey earlier that too bad. Mikey wants him to become a musician. And he says, too bad, he's going to become a preacher. Aren't you? And after that statement, we finally see tough guy male reveal that his hard, cocky exterior was only a front, and inside there was something else driving him. What was his response to the sergeant who wanted to kick him out of the Navy flight program? Don't you do it. Don't. You. I got nowhere else to go. I got nowhere else to go. I got nothing else. Mayo realized that his self-reliant life was nothing, that all he had to, was dependent on staying in and completing the program. The number one top 10 reason for attending church. Well, let's first look at another quick reference. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we're going to look at verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. Are we there? For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. And what's I a pronoun for? There is Jesus, right? There am I among them. Number one in our top 10 reasons for attending church is because ultimately all you have is Jesus, and He is here. Right here among you. Everything else you have, everyone you know, every place you've been, it will all be destroyed. And even before God creates a new heavens and a new earth, you can't take any of it with you. You've got, just like Mayo, you've got nothing else. All you have is Jesus, and Jesus is here. Now, some of this list has been tongue-in-cheek. Other items really haven't gotten the proper treatment. Should be a lot more thorough. Probably should have done separate sermons instead. And even other ones have been completely left off the list. However, if you remember only one thing from today's talk, remember Jesus.
Amen.
The Jesus who inspired the writer of Hebrews to command you to be here. The Jesus who also personally said, He is where we gather. Personally said, He is where we gather. He is all there is. He is all we need.
Amen.
He is the number one reason you should attend church. And He is here.